I've got like a GPS in me because this is the letter grade that I want. It makes life very simple. If you don't make that choice, well, no. What grade do you want? What kind of marriage do you want? A, well, duh. It simplifies life.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message entitled The Power of One Choice. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was telling how Queen Esther saved her entire nation by making one choice. Today, we'll hear of others who made choices, some good, some bad, that impacted entire continents. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Power of One Choice.
For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Yeah, you choose what part you want to play in God's plan. Let's read the next one. Go. He said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. Yeah, you know what God is saying? I am going to help a bunch of people on this earth. I am going to bring families together. I am going to help people become all they were created to be. What part would you like to play? Would you like to be a part of the ones who are receiving the blessings of God or impeding the blessings of God? Those that follow him or those that reject him and go the other way? Do you want to pull against God or you want to pull with God? Do you want to cooperate with him or not cooperate with? Do you want God to work with you or in spite of you? It's your choice. Did you know that you can choose? And God gives you the free will to choose. But in the end, folks, God wins. God's plans will come to pass. Mark it down. Write it in ink because it will. The scriptures must be fulfilled. They will. They will. Question is, what part do you want to play? That's going to be a singular decision that will help you to start right. But make the choice right. You say, but Wayne, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. If you want to be a big part of God's plan, isn't that going to be hard? I mean, difficult? You got to do all this stuff? You think it's hard? Yeah. Okay, it's hard. That's what I thought. Well, it could be easy. How? If you say it's easy. Huh? Yeah. You see, if we rewind the tape back to Moses, because we're going to talk about the second decision that you're going to make in your life, choice that you'll make that'll determine your days. Moses has traversed through the desert with all the Israelites. He comes up towards the Jordan River because God had promised him a land flowing with milk and honey, with dates and nuts and all of these wonderful things taking place in the Jordan Valley. Lush. Said, now, Moses, I'm going to give you this land. Now, you're going to have to go in and logistically find out, how am I going to take this land? Where are we going to prioritize our conquest? Don't fear, God says, because I'll be with you. I'll make sure everything happens. Just obey me and walk with me. I'll take care of everything. But you send in 12 spies and kind of check out the logistics. How are you going to organize all of this? So he sends in 12. 12 come back and Moses says, okay, what do you think? 10 of them say, oh, we can't do it. This place is overrun with giants. It's impossible for us to take it. Moses, did you know that the Jebusites are there and the Canaanites and the Amalekites, the Electrolytes, the Flashlights, and the Parasites are there? They're all there. We can't do it. Whoa, Moses says, this sounds bad. This is difficult. And now, on the side, Joshua and Caleb are just real quiet. Moses says, what do you guys think? You were in the same, you saw the same thing? Uh-huh. What do you think? Cinch. It's a cinch. We should by all means go in there and take the land. It's a cinch. What? Did you guys see the same movie? Yeah. Well, why do you say it's easy and you guys say it's difficult? Wait a minute. This is confusing me. He goes to God. Moses speaks to God. God, what's going on? 10 guys say it's like, on a scale of 1 to 10, measure of difficulty, it's like a 12. And then Joshua and Caleb says it's like a 1 or a 2. What's going on? Who do I believe? The Lord says, you know what? Those that say it's on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult it is, it's a 12. For them it shall be a 12, and they will not enter the promised land because it's too difficult for them. But the ones that say it's 1 or 2, they have a different spirit. They're the ones going to go in the land. So you tell those 10, bye-bye. You tell the 2, welcome. Really? Mm-hmm. Because you see, here's what God is saying. Here's a second choice. You determine your own measure of difficulty of life. You determine, choose your measure of difficulty. It's sort of like in the Olympics where they have 2 scores. One is an artistic score and the other is a measure of difficulty score. On a scale of 1 to 10, difficult. How difficult will it be when you have setbacks and problems that you have to resolve? You choose. Oh man, it's so hard. Yep, then for you it will be hard. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 12. Then it's a 12. What about you? Ah, it's a 1 or a 2. Then for you, it shall be a 1 or a 2. You see, God is saying, you choose the measure of difficulty. That's exactly what happened here. Let's read it together. Go. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered. Listen to this. And his descendants shall take possession of it. You saw it in the New Testament. Some blind people came to Jesus. Lord, heal our eyes. This is what the Lord said. Do you think that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord. And let's read what he said in the next scripture. Go. Then he touched their eyes, saying, it shall be done to you according to your faith. You see, the same is true with problems. Same is true. You can have 2 people. They both go through the same setback. One becomes successful. One is debilitated. One thrives and the other dies. One gets better. The other gets bitter. Was it the circumstance? Mm-mm. Look around. We're all going to go through setbacks, every single one of us. Then is it the setbacks that determine our futures? Mm-mm. No, it's what you put on that. The measure of difficulty that you assign to setbacks in your life, that's what it will be. How many times some people say, oh, it's so hard. Then for you it shall be hard, because as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. You're going to have marriage setbacks. Oh, man, I can't make it through this. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. Then for you, it's going to be terrible. What about for you? We can resolve it. Good. You'll be able to resolve it. Why? Because God doesn't set the measure of difficulty on. You do. You assign it yourself. Every single one of us. But what makes it more difficult? An unwillingness to change and improve and learn. I've been doing marriage counseling for 30 years. And you know what? After 30 years, I have not yet found one problem marriage. I've found tons of problem people that got married. But it's easier to blame the marriage as problem. No, it's problem people. And what makes the marriage problematic is when the people are unwilling to change or slow to change. Because you see, what happens is when you don't want to change, then you will never be able to resolve anything. Because a lot of times the reason problems arise is because of stuff inside of us that are problematic. But if you've changed the inside, then the problems dissolve. You refuse to change, problems remain. You've got to be willing to change. It was George Mallory, about 1925. He was wanting to scale Mount Everest. Now, Mount Everest is one of the highest places on the face of the earth. 29,028 feet. That's like 5 miles above sea level. They're climbing this now with snow and ice. He's going to attempt it 3 times. On the 3rd, he will be lost in a blizzard. But after the 2nd time, he's addressing a group of people, raising money for the expedition. Behind him, a large picture of Mount Everest. And the story goes where after he's done addressing the people, he turns and he addresses this huge picture of Mount Everest. And he begins to speak to the mountain. And he says, you have foiled us thus far, and no one has reached your peak. But we will, and I'll tell you why we'll conquer you one day. I'll tell you why. Because Everest, You don't change, and we will. That means you are conquerable. You see, what he was saying was, Mount Everest will stay like it is, but if people are changing, improving, willing to learn, you will be able to conquer things. The insurmountable will become surmountable. But if you're unwilling to change, you will be the one that's conquered. Sure enough, in 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary, along with his Sherpa guide, Tenzing Norgay, they made it to the top. And in the next three decades, 660 people have made it to the top. And same is true with us. If we refuse to change, the measure of difficulty will be high on your life. But if you're willing to change, you'll be surprised how the measure of difficulty gets lower and lower, because I can resolve it. I can change whatever I need to learn, whatever we need to do, let's do it. And you'll be surprised how the measure of difficulty decreases and you become someone, listen to this, you become someone who God starts to flood with creative ideas and a willingness to change and the ability, the courage to face this and deal with it until God's best comes to pass. It opens the doorway for heaven to pour into you. You must choose. You've got to make that choice. You make that choice. And you have to be willing to change, because old habits die hard. How many of you would say, I agree on that? Now watch this. The reason it dies hard is because old habits used to work for you. But there's going to come a time in your life where that used to work for you now will work against you. Let's say you're super competitive in your younger years. And it works for you because it gains you some trophies, even some scholarships. But then you get married and you have kids and you're still competitive in your business and you step on people to get your way. What used to work for you now is going to kill you. It's going to destroy your people skills, your relationships with others, your marriage, your kids, everything. Until you start to recognize that if I don't change, I will become someone who will be conquered by my own old habits. And it's tough because it used to work for me. Pride. Pride may used to work for you. Let's say you're just overconfident, self-confident. And in the beginning, what it would do was keep people at bay. And no one would cross you. So you can kind of do your own thing. It worked for you, maybe establishing a business. But now that continued pride starts to work against you. You're on your fourth marriage now. Your kids don't know you from Adam. People stay away from you. Oh, but it worked for me. Yep, and if you're unwilling to change, it works against you. Story is told of this company that needed a shakeup to clean out some slackers. And so they hire this guy who was kind of proud of his record of being able to go in and clean people out. Well, this new guy is hired. And on a tour through the company, he sees a guy leaning up against the wall. Now, a lot of workers around him, so he wants to show everybody he means business. He walks up to the guy leaning on the wall. He says, how much do you make every week? The guy says, well, $300. He pulls out $300. Here, there's a week's pay. Now, get out of here. I don't want to see you again. Well, the guy just takes the $300 and leaves. And boy, he's kind of proud of his ability to cut out slackers. Then he turns to the workers and he says, can any of you tell me what this goof off did around here? One guy says, yeah, he was a delivery boy for Domino's Pizza. What works for you can begin to work against you if we don't change. You decide the measure of difficulty that'll be assigned to your life. On a scale of 1 to 12, 1 to 10, is it going to be a 12? Your marriage is going to run into some little speed bumps. What do you think? Oh, it's going to be a 9. My marriage, 12. Okay, for you it's a 12, for you it's a 9. What about you? 8. Okay, it's an 8. What about you? 2. What? 2. I can resolve it. We can work it out. Really? For you it'll be a 2, as is thy faith. So shall it be done unto you. Folks, listen, here's a cool thing that makes life with God pretty simple. The first is you choose what part you want to play in God's plan. And the second, what's the measure of difficulty that you're going to assign to your life? It's up to you, and you choose it, but choose wisely. The third is one of my favorites, and this is, would you write down a number three? Choose your own grade for your life. What letter grade do you want to put on your life? Let me ask you, in the end, what would you like as your letter grade? A, B, C, D, or F? What about your marriage? You want your marriage to be A, B, C, D, or F? What about your relationships with people? A, B, C, D, or F? Now, if you say A, it's going to require something of you. Like if you want to have an A in science, you have to what? Study. Yeah, it's going to require something of you. But you choose what letter grade do you want. Let's read what it says here in Deuteronomy 30. Go. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your... Do you notice how one choice affects others? Joshua and Caleb, you'll go into the promised land and your descendants will take possession of it. A choice that you make will affect so many others. Three singular choices. Choose. What letter grade? Now it's important that you make a choice. Because as soon as you make a choice, I want an A marriage or a B marriage or whatever it might be, then now you know what to do and what not to do. For example, if I want an A plus marriage, I know what I can say and I know what I don't want to say. I can't say derogatory things. I can't be angry or say words and then not resolve it and expect to get an A. It won't happen. I can't say I want to have an A plus marriage and then cut corners and slouch. No. Decide, because as soon as you decide, it will help you to determine what kind of lifestyle you will live, what to say yes to and what to say no to. When friends want to do this and I think, no, I have already promised my wife or children this, I know what to do. I've got like a GPS in me because this is the letter grade that I want. It makes life very simple. If you don't make that choice, well, no. What grade do you want? What kind of marriage do you want? A, well, duh. You understand? It simplifies life. It doesn't, you know what makes it complicated is when you stay neutral. Some people say, I don't want to make a choice because it's too complicated. I don't want to do it. It's too hard. I'm just going to stay neutral. No, there is no neutrality in these three choices, singular choices that you'll have to make. Every single one will have to make these. What part do you want to play? You got to make that choice. What measure of difficulty do you want to assign to your life? What letter grade? There's no neutrality. Because if there is, you will be like Holland in World War II when the Third Reich was wanting to sweep over Europe. The Allied forces were going together against the Third Reich and Hitler's design. Everyone had to make a choice. What side were they going to be on? Some, for fear of choosing the Allied side and the Third Reich would come over. Oh, boy, we can't. We'll choose to be with the Nazis. Oh, then what if the Allied forces win? So one of those was It's a country called Holland. Holland said, what we're going to do is this. They went on Radio Europe and they proclaimed, declared neutrality. They said, we're going to not take sides at all. We will stay neutral. The very next day, over 2,000 Nazi airplanes and 1,700 tanks and thousands of foot soldiers all overran Holland. And if you know anything about that war, Holland was under occupation of Nazi Germany. Now listen carefully. The devil will no more honor your stance of neutrality than the Nazis did Holland's. You cannot stay neutral. We say, well, Wayne, why is it so important to make this choice? Well, you see, as soon as you make these choices and make them well, as soon as you say measure of difficulty, if it's 12, you shut everything down of God's wisdom, God's creative insight to be able to conquer things, resolve things. If you say, no, it will be resolvable, you know what happens? God begins to flood you with wisdom, insight, innovation, creativity, options, courage, grace, direction, because your heart is open. But if I say it is not, because it's going to be hard, then even if God has it available for you, you'll not be able to receive it. You choose the measure of difficulty. It'll be one of the most important decisions you'll make, because it'll open your heart either to God's wisdom or shut it to it. Every one of us must make those decisions. You say, but what if I fumble and fall after I make these decisions? Just start there. Yeah. Let me finish with this story. When I was in the sixth grade, I was terrible at math. I got better after a while, but I had this teacher, a math teacher named Mr. Hayes. Now, Mr. Hayes liked me, thank God for him, and because I was bad. And he would give a test. And I don't know if you have, but I would at that time get brain freezes. Any of you get that? Like, it's like, oh no. And everything just shuts down. How many of you would have brain freezes and tests? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. Well, he gave us this one test and I looked at it. I didn't even know where to start. Oh no, I was just like, I was in suspended animation. And he looked down over his glasses at the students and they were all taking their tests and it looked like I was in a coma. So quietly put his glasses down. He thought, I'd better help Wayne. And he just quietly sauntered down the aisle and stood right behind me. How you doing, Wayne?
I don't know where to start.
He said, can you remember anything?
Nothing, not even my name. I don't know where to start.
Then he said this to me, Wayne, start at yesterday's theorem. Do you remember what I wrote on the board yesterday?
Yeah.
Start there. It will apply to everything else. Oh, I remember. Oh, and I started writing it down, and that one theorem applied. It was like the whole test was applying that one theorem. And I thought, that's it. Well, today, I want to be Mr. Hayes to you. And I'm going to give you a hint. And I'm actually going to give you the answers. What part do you want to play in God's plan? Big part. Measure of difficulty, what shall we assign? Two. And what grade letter to our life? A+. Start there. It will apply to everything else. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we conclude. Thanks, Bertie. We're going to pray and then we'll sing our final song that we've been singing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. And by the way, because you're such nice people, we have some post-it notes that says one made a difference on it and a pen that says one made a difference. And you'll get it outside as you go outside. The ushers will hand you one of those and one per person, all right? Don't forget now, one per person, okay. But that's because you're such nice people. But we're going to pray, and then we'll let you be dismissed. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a wonderful family called New Hope, where we're understanding that one decision made at each season of our life can make a difference in our lives, in our descendants, those around us. So, Lord, help us to start right, that we choose to play a big part in your plan, not a negative part. Show us how to do that. Help us, Lord, to assign the correct measure of difficulty assessment to our lives, that things are resolvable. There are options. There is a way. It keeps our hearts open to your wisdom and your courage. And Lord, letter grade, A+. And now help us to be worthy of that. Now we know we'll stumble and fumble, but Lord, we're going to start there. We're going to start there because it applies to everything else. Thank you, Father, for helping us shine. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you thank God with a clap offering? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace.
Sing. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Power of One Choice by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.